Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. Dare to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, November 16th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. And in a moment, we're going to begin. Our episode today is Color Your Life Happy, Breakthrough, and Stay Through. That sounds good, doesn't it? But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners, because I know that you have many other choices of ways to spend your time. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us today. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. That's the benefit of being on live. If you're on the phone lines, just press #1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. If you're on the web chat, just type in your questions or your comments down there in the text box, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Let me remind you, too, that our show is live, so if you're on the phone lines or even in the chat room, that means anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens. So if your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700, the same number you called before. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Now, again, I'm Flora Brown. I'm an author. I'm your host. I'm a coach. I'm an inspirational speaker. And I'm also a mom of four adults now and a grandma of three. I recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels, and now I'm spending my full time speaking and writing, and that's pretty exciting. If you haven't already done so, I want you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you can now invest not only in my book that just came out not long ago, but invest in yourself by taking advantage of a complimentary coaching session that I have there for you for the new year called Jumpstart Your 2010 Goals. So to get there, just go over to the website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, and click on the link that says Get a Coach Now, and it'll take you to the information about how to get a complimentary coaching session. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness that you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, all of those things that lead to lasting happiness. Today, I'm pretty excited. My guest is Scout Wilkins, and I want to tell my listeners a little bit about you, Scout. How's Scout? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to be talking to you again, Flora.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to tell people about you a little bit, and then we'll get started, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Scout Wilkins is the queen of enthusiasm. I like that title. Queen of enthusiasm. She's a master results coach and practitioner of neurological repatterning. Now, like many of us, she tucked her childhood dream to live the practical life and that she thought she should, and as many of us think that. Today, she's going to be discussing how we can break through and stay through of some of those things that we have programmed, those patterns that are no longer serving us. So I'm going to get started right away because this is an exciting show. Scout, we spoke on this show actually about 2 months ago, and we've been in touch since then, and I've enjoyed following your insights as they develop about the ways to allow ourselves to really engage with life. One in particular really resonated with me as you walked me through it, and that's what I'm setting up. When I make it okay not to have what I really want in my life. Now, hearing you tell me that really shifted me to a new place, and I wonder if you would start by sharing that with us here. Could you do that?
Oh, I'd be glad to, Flora. That's a great starting place. And it was a really great conversation when we had that conversation a few weeks ago. This is an insight that's just become much more clear to me in the last few weeks and months. And what I've really been getting is about the relationship of trust and gratitude, and still, while being in those places, still moving toward what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Trust and gratitude are totally key. I mean, they are the foundational pieces in my life. They're what hold me in my center, absolutely, staying in gratitude, staying in trust.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really got is that in order to move to another place, I have to, at the same time, hold that I want something more. So it's not an either-or thing. I'm either in trust or I want more. It's I need to learn how to hold both. I need to be in gratitude and trust and say, and here's what I want next.
Okay.
It's very much the teachings of Abraham Hicks. For anyone, probably a lot of your listeners are familiar with Abraham Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're rockets of desire, letting the universe know what it is that you want through feeling that desire.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question really is to look at your life for all our listeners and, you know, for myself. I just had an experience with this.
Mm-hmm.
To see if there's a place in your life that being in trust is actually sort of anesthetizing yourself and keeping you from really identifying what you most want next.
Mm-hmm.
So I see it actually as sort of a three-part process. First, you identify what you want,
mm-hmm.
and then you let yourself really want it, and then you get into the place of feeling like it's already present. And that's the piece that really communicates to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the piece that I'm focusing on a lot now is that middle piece of letting yourself really want what you want.
Okay.
And what has brought it close to home was, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So this isn't just something I'm telling all of you, you know, with a finger pointed out. It's one of those finger pointed out, all the other fingers are pointed in moments.
Right.
I was working with my mentor, Kevin Nations, last week. I got to go back and spend a day with him, which was awesome. And we were going around the table. There were three of us working with him, and we were getting deeper and deeper into what we wanted in our businesses, where we were, what we needed to do. And finally, on the last round, I just, you know, got naked with a big problem I'm having in my business and laid it on the table. And while I was describing it, I said, and yet I'm still managing to stay in a place of trust around it.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me and said, you know what? Here's what I have to say to you. It's time for you to get out of that place of trust. And deal with it. Start really wanting it to be different, because the place of trust is really, it's keeping you from changing. And it was such an eye-opening moment.
Hmm.
You know, he was so right. And it's my message coming back to me through my teacher. So I was actually focusing on trust to the exclusion of desire. And I really did feel like, now that I'm looking at it from the outside, I do feel like I was anesthetizing myself. Can you feel what I mean with that?
Yeah, I'm trying to verbalize what you're saying is that when we are in a place of trust and we're doing okay with our lives, that it's sort of this feeling that this is good enough and we shouldn't want more. Is that kind of...
Exactly.
What you're saying is holding us back and that maybe there's, I'm imagining that there's some people that feel like there's something wrong with wanting more. you already have this, so why are you wanting more?
That's a piece of it. And it's what leads to settling, you know? Settling.
I don't like that word, settling.
What it is. It's what happens.
Yeah. Now, you know what? Until you pointed out to me what was going on, I didn't get that I was doing just that, settling or somehow doing the same thing you're saying with when you were with Kevin, trusting but not identifying that you want it more. What can you tell our listeners to help them recognize when they're making things okay? How do I figure out what I'm making okay?
You know, it can be tricky sometimes.
So
there's a few different things I would say about that. One of them is just check in with how you're feeling. If you're really truly feeling peaceful, starting projects easily, getting out of bed in the morning with a light heart, sleeping well, I would call that a pretty engaged life. I would say chances are you're not settling. You're really in a great place. You're not hiding what you want. You're really living what you want. And you can tell by how you feel. And so if you're frustrated and you feel like you're swimming upstream and you notice your relationships maybe keep failing for what begins to look like, oh, God, maybe it's not the other person. Maybe it's something in me.
Yeah.
Or you're always broke. No matter how much money you bring in, your expenses keep growing to meet whatever you need to spend to stay broke. You know, whatever the patterns are, if those things are true and you're putting up with them,
mm-hmm.
then you're making them okay.
That's not good.
So, you know, those are sort of the in-between pieces, and those can be the ones that sort of hide from us, you know, when we pretend that we're just staying in this trusting place, grateful for what we have,
mm-hmm.
sort of hoping it will change, but not doing anything to change it and not saying, you know what, I want it bad enough to make it happen. So what happens then when we're in that space is that maybe an opportunity for something really exceptionally wonderful comes up, like you get a notice in the mail for something just that you hadn't even thought about, but you hear there's an alumni cruise in the Caribbean with all the people you went to school with, right?
Yes.
And you say, but I just can't afford that. And it's okay. It's okay that I like staying home. I'll do other fun things, yada, 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 you know. Well, really, wouldn't it be great to be able to go?
Yes, definitely.
So if you really, you know, if you think about, God, how great would it be to be able to do that, feel the wind in your hair standing in the bow of the ship and hear your classmates tell you how much they love your book and how great you look, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and you just feel your chest fill with the gratitude for that experience and begin to call that one in. You know, this, your story may be something different, but take it in and feel it and think about the things that come your way that you make it okay not to have, you know?
Well, it's
so,
because I think we've been programmed intentionally and some unintentionally to settle for good enough and to feel there was something wrong with wanting more. And I think that's part of the problem we have to fight against. And I'd never heard it expressed the way you express it in terms of the trust and, you know, making it okay. But that's an amazing thought.
It's been a pretty big eye-opener for me. And what I would say about what you just said about being trained to not want more or feel like it's not okay to want more, you know, here's my take on that, is that we start out as little kids and everything is possible. I mean, what little kid hasn't thought, oh, I'm going to go out in the backyard and I'm going to take apart the swing set and get this little Lego motor and I'm going to build a rocket ship and fly to the moon. I mean, I actually did that, and not fly to the moon, but walked out and thought that I had this amazing idea of what was possible. Anything's possible when you go back young enough. And what happens in our lives is that the people that love us the most don't want us to get hurt. They don't want us to set our sights too high, you know, unless we have really exceptional parents and mentors and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
What we get is sort of buried. The way that I describe it is we get these hand-me-down clothes that are like other people's beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our parents went with their parents. I mean, it goes back for so many generations, but we get these hand-me-down clothes that don't fit, but we put them on because people love us. You know, we know that they care about us, so we cover ourselves up with these old beliefs that are not ours. And that's what a lot of my work is. When I sit down and work with a person, is to really let them see that the beliefs that are running their lives on an unconscious level are not even their beliefs.
Oh, my gosh. I have a caller who wants to ask a question. Let me open up the lines and see what question this caller has, okay?
Sure.
All right. Hello there, caller. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Billy. I'm from Huntington Beach.
Hi, Billy. I know you.
Yes.
Welcome. Welcome. Did you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
I know that that I can visualize and believe in things that I want materialistically, and otherwise, as long as that I'm not trying to overpower somebody else's will in their life. But I'm in a program that believes that praying only for the will of God and the power to carry that out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, am I overpowering that when I ask for things that I think I want?
Okay. So you're talking about reconciling your desire, your will, with the idea of letting things be God's will.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And then, in other words, maybe I'm not quite sure what it is that I want.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that there are some things that I'm aware of that I would like to experience, and I do experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, if, because I believe that my greatest plan is.
Mm-hmm.
Can I compare to my smallest plan? Well, no, I'm not saying that. My greatest plan cannot compare to God's smallest plan for me.
Okay, I understand.
And I'm just trying to be in line with, should I just continue to pray or continue to believe for what it is that I think I want, or should I just allow life to take its take control and put things in my life that needs to be there?
Okay. Scout, you want to speak to that?
That's a beautiful question, Billy, and I really honor you for your conscious choice around, you know, what you're calling in. And, you know, a lot of it does come down to spiritual belief, so I certainly honor yours. And what my own personal take on this question is that I absolutely believe in a spirit that wants the very best for us, that is a very consciously loving and wants us to be as peaceful and happy and in a wonderful space as we can be. And so when I talk about wanting what you want, one of the questions, I mean, this is sort of a question that people bring up fairly often, is stated in a different way, is this sort of spiritual materialism, you know, in which, how does this match with spirit? And my answer to that really is that the thing that when I'm putting out there what I want, I'm really going past the stuff aspect of it. At the same time, honoring, if somebody is in a place where they truly believe that to be happy and to get to that place of peace, they really need the big sailboat. You know, I honor everybody starting where they are. And so if what they're praying for and wanting, desiring enough to have it to make it happen is the sailboat, that's great. And I trust that eventually everyone will get to the point of realizing that it's the emotion behind the stuff. It's, you know, at the end of the day, it's never about the stuff. It's about the feeling that you want, the place that you want to be, that you imagine the stuff might take you to. So you've gone past that point. You're clearly not desiring the stuff so much as to live, as you said, according to God's will. And so I think that at the end of the day, we're saying the same thing. If you join me in believing that Spirit or God or however you state it wants you to be in a really great, centered, happy, peaceful, loving, fearless spot. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I was thinking the same thing. I'm going to mute the line so that we won't have feedback. Hold on, Billy.
Okay.
Okay. I was thinking the same thing when you were speaking, that God's will and our desire for what we truly want are one and the same. And it gets me to this idea that you've shared with me and other people have shared about the universe giving us these wake-up calls and these nudges. And I know you've expressed this whole concept before. You want to tell us again what you mean by the feather, the brick, and the Mack truck? Click. I think the whole spirit thing, you know, following God's will and getting the best that we can get from life are really the same thing. So explain that.
Yeah, well, this piece is sort of about listening to the messages that you're getting from God or the universe or spirit, however you state it.
Mm-hmm.
And my take on that, my experience, my very clear experience with it, is that we get these nudges from the universe, and they are escalating nudges. And mm-hmm. so if we're paying attention and we're conscious, we can actually hear or feel the first little nudge when the universe is saying, hey, you know what, there's something really, really good over here to the left. Go here. This is where your heart really wants you to go. Go left. And it's just a little tickle. It's just pick up the phone and call this person. Turn here. And so when we're really conscious, we follow those nudges, and generally really cool things happen. Those are the little synchronicities that, I don't know about you, but I'm seeing them more and more in my life every day.
Yes, me too.
So if we ignore that and we don't hear the nudge and we think, well, it would be nice to turn left, but I really have to keep this other, I've made an appointment to do this other thing, I'm going down this other path, so I'm not going to do that detour right now. And if the universe really wants you to be left, it's going to put up a bigger detour sign.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be sort of, I call this throwing a brick at you, throwing a rock.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get your attention in a bigger way. And this might be a near miss of an accident. It might be falling ill repeatedly, keep on getting sick. You know, I often view that as the universe saying, you know what, you need to be doing something different. Pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, getting hit by the Mack truck, is if you manage to plow through the detour sign and say, no, not today, I can't do that today, then you're in the zone where you're in the construction zone, and you might get, that's, you know, the cancer, losing people you love, get in a big accident. And that's when the universe sets you down on your haunches and says, now look, go left.
It said you didn't listen otherwise, so I'm shutting you down, and maybe you can listen now.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, we don't want that to happen, but we all, I suspect, at some point have the same dilemma that Billy just shared, is, you know, wanting to do God's will, having our own desires, and thinking that maybe they're in conflict or they're different. Now, I want to ask you, in working with so many clients over the years, what is it you find that most keeps people from moving forward toward creating the life they really want? You know, is it this dilemma, the spiritual dilemma? What keeps us from going after?
Well, I would say part of it is having carried all these hand-me-down clothes around for so long is we don't even know what we want. That's
mm-hmm.
a big piece. I hear that a lot, and I resonate with that. There has been a time in my life where I have been in that place. So that's one. And then the next big one, you know, is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that fear is really, I really view that as largely that cultural programming that we've had so much of the layering of beliefs about what is safe, what is not,
mm-hmm.
that we think it's going to be really scary to move toward what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I mean, that's really the bottom line piece that I think is that to look around at what you really believe are the limits, and are the things that you're fearing, are they really what you fear, or did somebody else
lay it?
I mean, it's not that somebody else laid it on you. I never accept the victim mode, but you accepted it from someone else. And if you accepted it from someone else, you can put it off.
You know what? I totally recognize all that. I start to get all the mind chatter from that little voice in my head. I know I'm not alone. And a part of me is afraid of stepping up or afraid of what people might think. Or you have this inner skeptic saying that it's not just in me to be this brave. How can I let go of that?
Well, you know, it's like Frank Herbert says in the Dune series, one of his lines that I love is, fear is the little mind killer. You know, and so getting around, learning to get around fear is a really big piece. And to look at yourself, when you look at somebody else and you see what they're doing and you think, oh, wow, I could never be that courageous. I would question that. And actually, I have a very personal story that I'd like to share along those lines that it really let me see. I've done things that appeared brave a lot in my life and have always sort of shrugged off when somebody told me that I was brave, because when I was doing them, it didn't feel particularly brave. And so here's my the best story I can tell about why courage can come easy when you're on your real path. And that is that I, without a whole lot of backstory about how this could come to be, because I know that it sounds odd to people, but after 19 years of marriage and two sons, and a whole lot of years of depression and not getting myself, I figured out when I was 45, that's about 10 years ago, that I'm a lesbian.
Wow. Okay.
And now I know that from the outside, what I did with that looked really brave, because I pretty much immediately went to my husband, who was wonderful, and sat down and talked with him. We figured out what we were going to do around that. And it was a pretty amazing time, and it reminded me of when another friend of mine about, I don't know, 8 or 9 years before that had done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, when I watched her do it, I had said, oh, my God, that's the bravest thing I've ever seen anybody do.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that when I was inside of it, here's what the rest of the story looked like, is that when I figured that out, when I finally, I mean, I guess I wasn't hit by the Mack truck. It wasn't a bad thing. It was a great thing that happened. But somehow, you know, I came out of the denial that I had stuffed myself into at about 15. And when I finally said, oh, my God, this is what it is, it was like stepping into my own skin. It was so amazing. I had had the feeling of a hole in my chest that nothing could fill up until that point in my life. I can remember describing that to therapists, saying, I just don't know what this is, but it's just this empty place that nothing fills.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only remember it now by having described it, because it disappeared. I was so filled with relief that there was no sense of courage in my decision to step into my truth.
Mm-hmm.
I was being pulled forward into this relief and joy, and, oh, my God, I finally get myself. I mean, my best friend's mom said to me shortly after I came out, she was very, you know, in her own way, trying to be very supportive, but what she said was, oh, I feel so sorry for you.
Oh,
oh wow. I said,
okay.
Oh, that, no, we don't need to go there.
No.
Sorry for me.
Yeah.
I'm happier than I've ever been because I finally get myself.
Yeah.
I finally am on my own path instead of having all these layers of other people's stuff of what I should be.
Now, how did it affect your children? Because you had two sons at the time.
Well, that's actually the most amazing part of the story because, and thank you for asking because that's actually a key part of why I'm telling this story, is that my boys at that time were 13 and 15. And my 13-year-old in particular had been really getting withdrawn and shutting down. He'd really been going into a bad place. And, of course, 13, I mean, that's sort of the classic time to not uproot a young man, you know, I mean, much less have your mother come out. But what ended up happening with him was that he came out of his shell, engaged in school, engaged in activities, dyed his hair Smurf blue, became the captain of the soccer team, just stepped into his life in a huge way. And he wrote me a letter when he was a senior in high school and he was graduating that said, "Mom, I want to thank you absolutely for stepping into your truth exactly the way you did when you learned it, because what you gave me was absolute permission to be whoever I am."
Wow. Wow.
So that's the gift. That's the gift that is there.
That is so, that's compelling. Thank you for sharing that story because it explains why you're so committed to the message. And it also gives us a message because if we're not being who we really are, then we're going to experience that hole, that emptiness, whatever way we describe it. And the people around us, especially children, are very in tune. They may not be able to say what's going, you know, they may not know, but they know something is missing, something's wrong, and that, you know, you're not being, you're not in your full honesty and integrity. They know that.
Absolutely.
They just intuitively know that.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for sharing this message. Now, I know from talking with you that you work with people to help them get in touch with what they want, to let themselves want it, and to release obstacles that are in their way. Can you give me some examples of how other people you've worked with have shifted from working with you to make this change for themselves?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. It's such profound work to be in that I'm just so thankful to be able to do it. And actually, you know, my story with this whole piece is that there was a day that I realized, and this has nothing to do with having come out, it was several years later, but I realized that I was not living my passion, and I was just flat, I was stuck, I didn't know what I wanted, I was totally in that place that we were talking about. And I just woke up one day and said, "No more. No more will I settle for this, because I know there's so much more, and I'm going to go find it." And that was what led me through a long, circuitous path, but it was what led me to this work. So that's why I love doing this work. And the people that I have done this with have had amazing shifts. And interestingly enough, I would not have said, I would not have defined myself as a relationship coach or a relationship person. You know, it's not where I would have focused. But when I look back over the people that I've worked with, I guess it's because the human condition, at the end of the day, is about relationships, your relationship with yourself, your children, your partners, your community. So almost everyone that I've worked with has come because of something not working in a relationship in some way. So there have been people that have wanted to create a great relationship and realized that they were doing something, you know, at 65, they look around and say, "You know what, I just don't think it's the other guy. I think I have to take some responsibility here." And what I want, one gal that came to me was losing her connection with her grandkids because she was feeling so judgmental about choices that her son was making. And she came to me and said, "I don't want to be this rigid. I want to feel generous of spirit, and I don't want to lose connection with my grandkids." And so we did work around that and totally shifted her experience and her ability to trust her son and to just love her son and be open to what the relationships could be.
Mm.
And she, right after we worked together, she actually went and spent a week with her son's family during a graduation and had an amazingly different experience around that, where her daughter-in-law actually opened up and complimented her on how wonderful she was to be around.
Wow.
So, it really totally shifted family stuff.
Now, I wanted to ask you this. For anyone who is still, a bit uncomfortable with going into letting themselves want things they don't have, can you say a bit more about that? I imagine that there are folks on the line thinking that we've already talked about this element of spiritual materialism in this and about the stuff. But as part of this question, it feels like I'm being ungrateful if I want more when, you know, sincerely want to be grateful. But what is your response to that? Are you being ungrateful to want more if you already have things and have a decent life?
You know, I would actually say the opposite, because like I said before, at the end of the day, it's not about the things. I mean, if the things is the path that moves you toward realizing that what you want is behind the things, what you want is the happiness and the peace and the beautiful connection with spirit, you know, I would say that it's actually the opposite, that it's ungrateful not to want that deep connection with your purpose, your connection with spirit, your peace, happiness. Because I'm giving you my scout's version of how the universe works, but in my version, there is a spirit behind all things, and that spirit wants us to be connected and loving and peaceful. And that is what will shift the world. So to not want that, to stay in a flat life where you're just settling for the day-to-day grind and you're unhappy and you're fighting with people and you don't even know why and you're broke and you can't do the things that you would love to do, that's the ungrateful side.
And you know what? You shared a book with me, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And I've just been getting into it. I couldn't even sleep last night. I had to get up and read. But one of the things this book points out is it ties into this dilemma that Billy mentioned about the spiritual versus our own personal. Mm-hmm. And this author points out that when people have this whole issue about prosperity and thinking somehow or another there's nobility in being poor, this book points out that in the Bible, the version of the Bible where Jesus' words are highlighted and read, if you get that version of the Bible, you'll notice that Jesus spoke only about positives and abundance and having what you want in this world, and not about, you know, how great it is to be poor. And some people think, well, Jesus was poor. He was not poor. He had all that he needed. So I think that we get this whole gratitude and poverty, nobility and poverty thing all mixed up. And we forget the message that the Bible and many other thinkers have told us, that we can have whatever we want, that it's all here for us. That's what this universe was created for.
I absolutely agree with you.
Is there
my picture of it really is of this flow of energy. I mean, I'm reading another book right now. Oh, would I totally recommend this book called The Field. It's about quantum physics.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Oh, it's an amazing book.
Okay.
And the connection that exists between us all on an energetic level, for us to deny what we most want, to deny that peace and happiness and really living a fully engaged life, for us to deny that is really sticking our oar in the energy that's connecting us all and stopping the flow. So what I'm all about is getting your oar out. If you're not ready to paddle, at least get your oar out of the water and allow the current to carry you around.
I like that. Now, we have like 5 minutes left, and I really wanted to ask you, is there anything you can do on the call today to help our audience experience their connection with what they deeply want in some way? But before you answer that, I want you to give your website so that people can find you in the event they want to learn more about what you're doing or set up some strategy sessions with you. Tell us how to reach you.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you for that. My website is easy to get to. It's scoutwilkins.com, scoutwilkins.com.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come to that homepage, up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a button that says Strategy Sessions. And what I offer people, and this is completely free, complimentary, absolutely no obligation, I offer people an hour conversation to figure out where it is that you're stuck and the best way for you to get into action around it.
Wow.
And it's something that I love doing because it's my service. It's really my service because I have this system that really will get you connected to what you need to do to move forward and to get out of that stuck space. And I've actually had, I had a woman email me about a month ago. I had talked to her back in the summer sometime, and she said, you know, I just wanted to let you know that after that 1 hour conversation, you got me so out of my rut that I, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm not reading this off anything, but she said, you got me so out of my rut that I packed my bags, I moved out of Minnesota, went to New York, and started school.
Goodness. Wonderful.
So
she had been hesitating on, huh?
She had just been going around. You know how you go around and around and around, and you think, well, I could. So sometimes it just takes getting in touch with what you most want.
Now, our time is so short, but is there like an abbreviated version of a process you can give us that will help us?
Oh, tell me how much time we have.
We have 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Oh, I'm just not sure.
You don't want to get into it in 2 minutes, huh? But those people who are led to get your strategy sessions, they're certainly going to get an insight into what you offer. And I want to invite you back. Will you come back?
I'd love to, because I do have a wonderful process that what it does, I'll describe to you what I will do, is I'll walk you over into a parallel universe where you can experience having what you most desire along with everything else in your life. It's a beautiful, beautiful process, and it just takes more than 2 minutes.
And next time we're going to start with that, I think, because otherwise we run out of time. It goes so fast.
It sounds wonderful. I would love to do that.
Wonderful.
The other thing that I'll say is that the last time I spoke with you, I actually created a recording that we could let people access again if you want to send out
would you do that?
Sure.
How do we get it? Are you going to have it on your site or what?
I'll resend you the link, I think.
Okay. And you want me to send it to my listener?
Yes. And I'll do is I'll just put in a coupon, because it's a recording that I usually charge $47 for, so I'll put in a coupon code that people can get it for free.
Ooh, okay. Well, I'll be happy to do that. I'll send it to my listeners, and that way they can go ahead and take advantage of some of the wonderful things you have to offer. I have to tell you that after my complimentary session, my life hasn't been the same either. But
I love
it. We're nearing the end of today's show, and I urge all of you who've been listening, I know you've been enlightened and encouraged and empowered by what Scout has shared with us. I want you to share this with your family and colleagues, and encourage them to go over to Scout's website, scoutwilkins.com. If you forget, you can ask me or you can look back at the show title. I want to thank you for tuning in, but I also want to invite you to join me again next Monday, November 23rd at 11 a.m. We're going to have another exciting show. You can go and see the show is already listed. Let me remind you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. sign up for your complimentary coaching to jumpstart your 2010 goals. Again, I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.